New York Attorney General Letitia James has filed a lawsuit seeking roughly $36 billion from prediction market operator Kalshi. Welcome to Debug the Hype. I'm Alex Morgan, and this show is not affiliated with Reddit or any subreddit. I curate stories from online communities. It's August 3rd, 2026. That $36 billion number is not just theater. It asks whether states or federal regulators decide what counts as gambling in these new markets. Scientists behind one of the world's longest marmot studies have launched an OnlyFans account called Only Marms after grants dried up, and so far they've raised about $650 to keep fieldwork running. The project is explicitly non-sexual. Professor Daniel Blumstein and grad student Emily Ranke say it's G-rated, and the community reaction mixes amusement with a sharp point. Decades-long ecological studies are fragile when traditional funding evaporates. Watch this because creative public engagement is becoming a survival tactic for small labs, and losing continuous field data is a conservation risk that's hard to reverse. Oil prices slid sharply after markets began pricing out the immediate risk of supply disruption following reports that a planned U.S. strike on Iran was paused, with Brent and WTI falling by several percent as traders recalibrated. The New York Times and Market Chatter noted the move was driven less by new barrels than by changing odds. And remember, roughly one-fifth of global oil and LNG transits through the Strait of Hormuz, so geopolitics still matters for price risk. Keep an eye on this because energy volatility feeds into gasoline costs, shipping, and inflation, and a brief calm can flip quickly if hostilities resume.
Amazon told investors it collected approximately $600 million in tariff refunds after a Supreme Court ruling and said it will return traceable charges to affected customers automatically, according to CFO Brian Olsavsky. The company emphasized the refund pool is limited, they pre-bought inventory and often weren't the importer of record, so only a subset of shoppers are likely to get direct reimbursements. This is worth watching because large, one-time policy windfalls can lift headline profits without changing underlying demand, and the follow-through on who actually receives refunds will shape consumer trust. New York's $36 billion lawsuit against Kalshi landed in Manhattan with two clear shocks: the scale of the damages requested and the fundamental regulatory question at stake. The Attorney General's complaint accuses Kalshi of operating an unlicensed gambling operation in the state, centering particularly on sports-related contracts and alleged failures to block underage users, and asks a court to order forfeiture, restitution, and fines, starting with a roughly $36 billion minimum pending full accounting. Kalshi's defenders point to federal oversight. The company is regulated as a designated contract market by the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, and Kalshi called the suit, sad to see, political theater. The CFTC itself has warned that letting states impose their own rules on federally regulated derivatives markets could bring entire federally regulated markets to the brink of destruction, a quote regulators used in public comments.
So what's actually being litigated? At root, it's whether a product that looks like betting on future events will be treated as a state-level sportsbook or as a federally regulated derivative. That distinction matters more than lawyers' satisfactions. It controls who sets consumer protections, who enforces age and anti-fraud rules, how trading is taxed, and whether platforms can operate across state lines with a single compliance regime. Reddit threads picked this up immediately. Some users argued firms offering betting-like contracts should be subject to sportsbook licensing and strict age checks. Others saw the lawsuit as politically motivated and likely to chill an important innovation in price discovery. Both sides have a point. If courts side with the AG, startups that build prediction markets will face a patchwork of state rules, higher compliance costs, and potentially blocked products in major states like New York. If courts back Kalshi and the CFTC's preemption case, states could be limited in how they police novel contracts, but consumer advocates will likely press Congress or state legislatures for new safeguards.
Practical outcomes to watch in the coming months: the court's initial jurisdictional rulings and whether a temporary injunction is sought, the CFTC's public posture and any amicus briefs from exchanges and trade groups, and product changes Kalshi might make. For example, geofencing sports contracts or imposing stricter age verification. There's also a broader political angle. The size of the damages claim, the headline $36 billion, shapes public attention far more than the finer legal arguments.
and that could push lawmakers to consider compromises rather than leave the question to a single judge. My read is this becomes a national test case. If a state can successfully reclassify federally regulated prediction contracts as illegal gambling, dozens of firms will have to redesign products or exit major markets, and Congress will almost certainly get pulled into clarifying the rules.
Shifting gears but staying with market structure, South Korea's KOSPI collapse is the other end of the risk spectrum. Not a legal test, but a structural implosion that exposed concentration, leverage, and political entanglement. The index rocketed from roughly 2,600 in May 2025 to near 9,400 in mid-June 2026, then plunged back toward about 5,600 to 6,000 by late July, with a single-day slide as large as 10.84% that triggered circuit breakers. Several forces combined to make that move brutal. Memory chip giants, Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix, made up more than half the index's weighting at the peak, creating an extraordinarily concentrated exposure. Domestic buyers, including the National Pension Service, increased allocation to local equities during a politically charged period, while foreign investors began to sell. The result? When leverage was unwound and margin calls arrived, the market didn't have enough breadth to absorb selling, and rapid liquidations amplified the decline. Online communities noticed the cultural fallout. A popular thread on the Wall Street Bets community celebrated what it called JOMO, the joy of missing out, as retail traders who stayed on the sidelines dodged catastrophic losses. That's telling because the episode wasn't just math, it changed investor behavior. Workers and small savers told reporters they were moving savings into dollar assets or avoiding domestic market exposure, and regulators scrambled to contain systemic risk. The practical lessons are crisp. Index concentration can hide systemic exposure, leverage makes swings nonlinear, and political influence over large public funds can create single country flashpoints.
What might change next? Expect targeted regulatory steps, limits on retail leverage, tighter oversight of pension fund allocations, and perhaps new rules around disclosure of concentration risk in major indices. Global funds that suddenly find themselves overexposed to Korean memory makers may reweight portfolios and demand clearer governance from local institutions. For individual investors, the episode is a reminder of portfolio construction and the perils of margin. As one top comment put it bluntly, this is why you should never trade on margin. On the other hand, volatility creates opportunities for those with capital and risk tolerance. The question for policymakers is how to balance market functioning with protections that prevent widespread household harm. These two deep stories share a theme. When rules, concentration, or leverage are out of sync with a product's real risk, the consequences get amplified, whether in a courtroom or on an exchange. Watch how market participants and regulators respond, because the next moves will shape whether startups adapt or retreat, and whether investors finally get the transparency and guardrails they need. If courts let states reclassify federally regulated prediction contracts, we can end up with a patchwork of rules that fragments markets and raises costs for both innovators and everyday traders. I'm Alex Morgan, Debug the Hype.